John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Is that good or what? The only thing mystifying to the disciple was, how on earth can Jesus say it's better for you if I go so he can come? He said it's expedient. As I understand the word expedient, it means it facilitates everything that needs to be done better. It will be better for you. But I have to go before he can come. Jesus declared it would actually be better for the disciples for him to leave so he could send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be empowered to do some things that Jesus did not do. He'll be given a broader range of ministry than Jesus had. And I hope this morning to give a fresh perspective on the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that you can have an unquenchable desire to know him and to understand his work. Can you say amen to that? Because the Holy Spirit is going to do some things, and no one else is going to do them but the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is not working in our midst, those things won't be done. And if he's not working in you, he's not going to do those things in you. If he's not allowed to work in you, he will not teach you all things, and he won't guide you in all truth. Therefore, you're not going to have a lot of truth. And you could be working with lies. Or you could be working with your carnal mind, God forbid. Or you could even be working with the devil, surely not. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And amazingly, Jesus said, I've got a lot of things I need to say to you, but you can't bear it. So I looked that up in five translations, and it says you can't bear it. But the Amplified did say, you can't grasp it. That's a good rendering. If I said that to you this morning, you'd say, oh, yeah, come on, Pastor, try us, wouldn't you? You know, I've got something I'd like to tell you, but I don't think you're ready for it yet. Oh, try us, we're ready. He just said, I've made this judgment, you're not ready. Well, I want to ask you today, has the Holy Spirit ever told you to do something you weren't ready for? That's what he meant. He meant there's a whole lot of things you're not ready for yet. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and step by step, he'll make you ready. So not only is he going to teach you all things, he's going to do like a little child, take you like a little child by the arms and guide you into all truth. Go, no, Judy, don't go that way. Go this way. Well, I want to go that way. No. That's what guide is. Guide is more than A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Guide is get you into the place where you need to be. And he said, the Holy Spirit's going to get you there, and you're not there yet, and I'm not even going to mention these things. Isn't that great? Think of all the things that Paul, all the revelation Paul had, that the disciples didn't have, because the Holy Spirit could then teach it. Think of that sermon that Peter preached. I don't think Peter preached like that before. On the day of Pentecost, that sermon he preached, because the Holy Spirit took him to a different place. Now, I want to show you something. He said when he's come, he's going to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word convict means convince. You can try all day long to talk to people about their need for Jesus. And if they don't get it, they don't get it. You can even say, well, you know, I was going along this way until Bill Short talked to me, and he convinced me. No, he didn't. If you ever got convinced, the Holy Spirit spoke through Bill Short. Nobody can convince of sin. You can't. Because it's one carnal mind talking to another carnal mind. It takes the Holy Spirit. You know why? We like sin. We're used to sin. We're familiar with sin. The world has told us sin is marvelous. It takes a lot to peel all those wrappers off. Convict of sin. And he gives a because for everyone. Convict of sin because they don't believe in me. See, when Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit had come, the spirit of conviction was upon his message. So Acts 2, 36 and 37 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that both God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What we are seeing here is that when Peter preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit convinced these Pharisees, these Jewish people, they're the ones who crucified Jesus, and they are the ones that are guilty. And their response was, what shall we do? They were not convicted before that. Before Peter preached under the anointing, they were happy as could be. Well, we got rid of him. Now we can take over and we can be in charge, and this is what we've always wanted. Yet, when someone speaks under the anointing, what you have done takes on a completely different nature. And you cannot see it before the Holy Spirit shows it. Either the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin or you will never be convicted. He's the one who caused you to believe you were a sinner and needed a Savior. No one else could do it. Now, someone might have been praying for you. Hopefully they were. 1 Corinthians 12:3, though, says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You cannot call Jesus Lord unless the Holy Spirit is now working in you. We say we decide for Jesus. There's a lot of things that are accommodation to men's minds. But we don't decide for Jesus. He convinces us of himself. He convicts us. And we call it get under conviction. It means to say you're now under something that's going to help you. Conviction. Then the scripture says he convicts of righteousness. Because I go to my Father. Now somehow we've turned this to mean that he convicts us that we need to be righteous. But really, because Jesus has done everything that needs to be done to make us righteous in the sight of the Father. You know, I preached this on Easter. He took his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And now we are righteous because we believe in what he has done. He convicts of righteousness because he goes to his Father. The Spirit convinces us of our righteousness. You know why? So we can come boldly to the throne of grace ourselves. He wants to pray through us. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says that we don't know how to pray the way we should. But the Holy Spirit prays through us for the saints, according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit has to convince us we are righteous before God, or we won't come boldly before the throne of grace. And he won't be able to pray through us. Do you see that? So that's how he guides you. He's lining you up. Come on over here. You're not the way they say you are. It's not about you. It's about him. It's not about whether you succeeded or failed. It's about what he did. It's about the fact that he has opened the way and made the way and paid the price. And you can forever come before His presence simply mentioning His blood. He became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, you are righteous. How many of you believe that deep down? How many of you believe it somewhat? See, I don't believe everybody here believes it deep down because you worry too much about how awful you are. And if some of you are awful, don't even worry about it. So there's all kinds of people in a church. But this is called condemnation. When you're always thinking you're not good enough. You haven't done enough. Hey, if you ever had done enough, what do you think? A bell would go off or what would happen? Good enough, good enough, good enough. I'd hate to see you the day you got good enough. Nobody could stand you. We need to be convinced or convicted of our righteousness, or we will never have boldness and faith before Him. How many of you believe He wants you to be bold and have faith? False humility sometimes quivers and shakes and acts like it isn't good enough. The Lord's not into that. True humility is knowing who you are. That's what true humility is. You know, some people just think they're wonderful. And some people think they're terrible. And they're both wrong to some degree. But true humility knows who you are and can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And thirdly, he convicts of judgment. Because, there's a because always, the prince of this world is judged. Now, he's not really primarily talking about the judgment day or that you're going to be judged. It's about the devil has been judged. That's what this is about. John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Satan has been judged. We need to be convinced of this. Why? Because we have to know he is a defeated foe. As I walked out my driveway to get into my car today, I said, God does always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. The way that we can live in victory in life is to know this, that the enemy has been defeated, and because of that, any lie Satan comes along with, God always causes us to triumph over that as we believe in what Jesus has done. The enemy wants you to think one of two things. Either that he doesn't exist, and he's some little force, some little thing that flies around, gets in people's way, or else he wants you to think that he's greater than God. Satan has already been defeated, but he's left it to the church to enforce the victory of Calvary. Satan has been judged. We need to be convinced of this so that we take our stand of authority against him and his lies. Do you know that when Satan starts harassing us and attacking us, and if you're hurting his kingdom, he's going to do this to you right along. Now, if you're not, you ever just notice with some churches they never seem to have any problems? They don't ever do anything to hurt the enemy, but they never have any problems. Yes, that goes together. And churches that rise up against wickedness and preach the name of Jesus and break through the darkness so that people can be healed, saved, and delivered really by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, that's Satan's target. And so what happens immediately if it's against you as an individual or something comes against the church, there comes with it a lie. It's because you did this. It's because you're not doing that right. It's because you failed. It's because you should do things better. And it's usually because you did things right. But you have to be convinced that Satan has been judged. That's why we need the Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit tells us all the time, every time a situation comes up where we're tempted to go this other way, then the Holy Spirit witnesses. But Satan has been judged. He will convince you that you have authority over the enemy. He will witness to you that Satan has been cast down. He will convict you to quit putting up with Satan's accusations and deceptions. Now, Jesus had things he wanted to tell them, he said, but they couldn't handle it. He had to tell them a little later through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a thought? I can't tell you this. I'm sending somebody else to tell you. He actually said, I'm going away, but I'm going to put somebody in your place that'll have a broader ministry and enable you to do things better. Isn't that tremendous? How many of us would want to say that somebody else would have a broader, better ministry than we would? Although you don't have to look very far to find somebody. Maybe it would be kind of like this. This is just a real poor example, but something like this. Oh, guys, I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to be gone for a month. But I want you to know that Andre and Carrie and Jane and Judy are going to take care of whatever situations you have. And I've also got about a half a dozen other people in all these different places. And everything you're going to need during this time is going to be taken care of. It's a little bit like that. In other words, you multiply the number of persons or the scope that people can take care of the things that need to be done. By the way, I think each of these people does something a lot better than I do. I mean, how much solo work do you see me doing, for example? That's Judy's business. Or take Joe Sekulow. Thank God he's the administrator of this church. All that good stuff. So he gave them the Holy Spirit to do it broader and better. The Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. The Amplified Version makes the word comforter. Counselor, helper, advocate. You know, an advocate is a lawyer. Sometimes in your head you need one. Intercessor. Strengthener and standby. All of these words the Amplified gives us for this word, comforter. You remember I started out, I don't know, I think it was in the Holy Spirit class, you know, asking you this question, who's making your decisions? Because you remember the Holy Spirit is the one who guides you into all truth. And if you're making your own decisions, you're missing the great ministry of the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do. He's wise and he understands it. In fact, he's the great genius living inside of you. He knows everything. Rely on him. Let him tell you. He'll do it right. But then here's this other question. How uncomforted do you feel? I know sometimes some of you really feel uncomforted and uncomfortable. Occasionally, I feel like I belong on another planet. That's pretty uncomfortable, isn't it? You ever feel like I don't even belong in the world? I don't even belong here? Or you just don't feel that comfort you need like sitting on your mama's lap? I used to sit on my grandmother's lap, and she had this thing that hung down under her neck. I just thought that was the greatest fun. So all kinds of things comfort us when we're little kids. Pray I won't get one of those. All of these ministries, let me read it again. Comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. I need somebody to help me. You've got somebody. You've got somebody. He lives inside of you. Start communing with him. Start communicating with him. Start trusting in him. You know, this is a thing of faith. You've got to believe he's in there. I promise you, it doesn't happen any other way but by faith. It takes a lot of help and a lot of ministry to bear up under truth And the Holy Spirit wants to bring us truth. So in order to bring us truth, He has to fix us so we can bear it. And in order to bear it, He has to counsel us, help us, be an advocate, pray for us, strengthen us, and stand by us and say, here, you can take this. You've been living a lie in this area for a long time. This is what inner healing is. You've been living a lie in this area for a long time, but you can take the truth now. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is given to us to minister to us so that we can bear the truth that He brings. Many people never come into the truth because they cannot bear it. His place is to help you bear it. I mean, did you ever see anybody, of course not yourself, but did you ever see anybody that you think, what do you do? Just think up ways that you can make wrong decisions and wreck your life. I think everybody has at least one experience with somebody who does that kind of thing. You just think, well, do it again. Well, do it again. Those people can't bear the truth. And many people have tried to help them. You know, this is something I really like about John. If there's something about him or his life that I really feel I should say something about, I can say it. It could be that occasionally he's not going to change it or fix it. In which case he'll say, yeah, it's old John. That usually means, yeah, I heard what you said, but I just thought it would be awful to have to be around somebody a lot that you could never tell them things in their life that are just not going to help them at all. His place is to help you bear the truth. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Think with me now. Just think about this. Just sort of absorb this. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God, and we don't. And the Scripture says He searches all things. And the Scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's how we knew the Spirit was here this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, you know, a little bit later, I'm going to minister about the gifts of the Spirit and how they work and the flowing of the gifts and all. But if we let the Spirit lead us, the Spirit spoke to me this morning to lead that little time of free praise and to encourage us to just give ourselves an okay. See, this is, if we are obedient to the Spirit, then He takes us up in realms where we can know Him even better. We listen to the Spirit. Yesterday, I was visiting with Chastity. And after I had prayed with her and we'd spent some time together communing with the Lord spoke to me, just sing. And so I just sang, and then Jane was there, and she sang. And then we just worshiped the Lord, and the atmosphere changed. Sometimes in our intellect, we just don't want to do it. No, I don't think I'll do that. They might think I'm weird. They may think it anyway. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives you liberty to respond if you simply will do it. That's why the sin against the Holy Spirit is an unpardonable sin, because He's the only one that can reveal Jesus. And if you sin against Him, then you don't allow Him to show you Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't be saved. He will reveal Jesus to us, the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, it's more expedient for you. If I go, He's going to reveal things to you about Me that you didn't know while I was with you. You know, they had a lot of funny ideas while He was with them. Yeah, that's right. You know, that's why they're called the disciples. I mean, Jesus is plainly telling them, you know, he's going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. And they're walking along, and He's talking to them, and He says, Lazarus sleepeth, but I will go to him. And one of the disciples says, oh, he's sleeping, that's good. So He turns to him plainly and says, Lazarus is dead. And He had to do that on many occasions. I think the scripture wants to show us how glorious the carnal mind is. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, it's because we forgot to bring the bread on the fishing trip. They just, so many times they didn't get it, do we? So he will reveal Jesus to us. He will show us things to come. And not just random things, but things that pertain to where we are and what we need to know. You know, if a person is ever born again, if a person ever enters the kingdom of heaven, think about it. He has to let the Holy Spirit do it, or it'll never happen. And here's something else. Did you know what? If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have this book. The scripture says, men of old wrote the scripture as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. He breathed the word of God. Well, you can tell it's a God-breathed word. I know some of you don't like the King James, and I understand some of it's a little hard to read, but it's beautiful. It's very poetic. It's wonderfully written. And it's the one Paul used. I don't really care which one you use, but check with me later and I'll tell you one I'm suspicious about, okay? We are led by the Spirit. And you don't, I find that this is one of the great hang-ups of Christians. They act as if finding the will of God were like finding a cure for cancer. It is not that hard. I tell people all the time how easy it is to find the will of God. Shall I tell you this morning, there's no extra charge? Here's how easy it is. Find yourself a church that has a vision, that wants the Holy Spirit to be in charge, that's going in the right direction. Get yourself hooked in with that church. Find a place in that and let God use you. And if the Lord wants to send you out from that church, He can do that. But you need to start, everybody needs to start somewhere. And it's not a matter of having some great signs come to you, but while you are waiting on God, you'll be covered, you'll be taught, you'll be blessed, and God will keep you in health. Now, we are sealed for eternity by Him. Aren't you glad that eternity is sealed for you? I've had people ask me if I knew when I was a child that I was called to preach, or if I'd thought about it. I said, well, I really hadn't even thought about being saved when I was a child. But I'll tell you something, I did worry about eternity. Because it's so blooming long. It just lasts a long time. I heard one describe it that a bird could take a grain of sand and fly across the Atlantic Ocean, one grain of sand at a time. He could make one beach, and he hadn't even started on eternity. And the Holy Spirit, oops, sorry. And the Holy Spirit, don't want you to get excited. But if I fall, I bounce, so it's all right. Last time I heard Carrie preaching on CD, she was talking about her cork wedges that she was standing on. It's good to stay on your wedges. I am very thankful that the Holy Ghost seals us for eternity. That's why we can say when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me. Because He works so closely with us to help us, teach us, and guide us, He's the one of the Trinity who is most easily, let me say this, sensitive, is the most sensitive and most easily hurt. And I want to show you why. I want you to turn to Ephesians 4 for our last scripture. And in verse 29, the scripture says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Now, you know, in other words, don't do this, because if you do this, it will grieve the Holy Spirit. "Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor." Now, we've looked at this scripture before. "And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And clamor, we decided, is arguments. Just little tit-for-tat things. Now, listen to me carefully. It can be in this little area that you personally are grieving the Holy Spirit, and you might be saying, "I don't feel Him much. I don't think He speaks to me much." But you may be allowing yourself little backbiting things, or just little things that you talk about with other people, or you let little things bother you that other people do. You know, he came in, he didn't even look my direction. I don't think he likes me. Or if we want to have our way about some little thing, "I think we should have done it this way. I think we should do the church luncheon on the first Sunday. That'd be easier for me to remember. I think we should do the night of worship in the sanctuary, or in the whichever one we don't. You should put it in the other one." Would it be better to have the Holy Spirit than have your opinion? My Bible says he doesn't like that. It could be that you've been in a conversation with me at some point, and you've said, "So-and-so does such and such and such." And I've said, "But you know, have you noticed how they do such and such? What I'm saying to you is, the Holy Spirit didn't like that, and I'm going to say something he will like. Come on." "I didn't like it when Mike led such and such. He should have done it this way. But boy, have you noticed how Mike has stepped up and how he's come into the anointing, how faithful he's been." I don't think any of you are perfect, but I think a lot of you do a tremendous job at what you do. So I'm just saying to you that clamor is that little kind of stuff. Anger and wrath and bitterness. You know, some people speak out of a bitter root. I used to work with a woman who'd say, "Men are not fit to live." Bitter root. All politicians are crooked. I don't believe that. I really don't. I don't have a lot of confidence in politics, but I do not believe all politicians are crooked. I think all of this, I think, you know, if we wrote it in this day, we could almost say negative speaking, and you might understand it better. And the scripture says, "Let it be put away from you with all malice." Malice means an intention to do something bad. "And be kind one to another." Now, we might have to give some kind lessons. But it can be done. "Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted." I don't want to be tender-hearted. You get hurt. How are you going to get hurt anyway? If you live in this world, you'll get hurt. "Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, these are his preliminary instructions to us. Get rid of the negative and the hateful speaking and start being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. I've made it as simple as I know how. And I want to give you just a little hint. When you hear yourself say, "I probably shouldn't say this," why don't all of you agree together? You could say, I probably shouldn't hear it then. Hey? I've had people say things, and then I've had them say, did I sound too negative? So this scripture says we can grieve him. What does grieve mean? I mean, grieve is a lot deeper than offend. Yeah. Offend is just nothing like that. Offend can just be, it can be any unsaved person can get offended. We're talking about the deep heart of the Holy Spirit, a heart full of love and sensitivity and desire to see people blessed and healed. I'm going to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit wants to heal people and wants to use you to heal them. And about the gifts of the Spirit. Think about the gifts of the Spirit. And that He gives us words of wisdom and words of knowledge, as well as gifts of faith and gifts of miracles. Those are gifts of the Spirit. They're not gifts of the Father. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of Jesus He is, the kind of Savior, kind of person of the Holy Spirit that He is. Let me get that right. That the Savior has given to us a Holy Spirit. My mother, you know, she had such a compassionate heart for people who were poor or who needed help or who were sick or anything. And when she was living, she was on my case all the time. You know, do you know if somebody's taking care of somebody? Is somebody taking care of so-and-so? Because she had a real concern about that. Sometimes we can just go through our lives and not really care that much, can't we? But the Holy Spirit cares so much that He gives gifts and ministries to people so that people can be healed, so they can be delivered, so they can be saved. Now, we can grieve Him. And the scripture says we can quench Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Holy Spirit. You know what quench means? It's like when you take that fire on the candle, when you take that wick and you just put your fingers on there and just like, psst, pook. No more light, no more heat, no more nothing. Quenched. See, He's sensitive. He's not like us. He doesn't blunder around. He's very sensitive. He has a heart full of love and a heart full of compassion. And if you want to keep Him around, you have to be careful not to do the things that quench Him. And an easy way to quench Him is by not praising Him. But I saw today we were praising Him. We were worshiping Him. He likes that. Another way to quench the Holy Spirit is by not praying. Oh, well, there's other people. There's the praying crazies in the church. They'll always pray. But He knows whether or not you are praying. And every single one of us, listen to me, has our responsibility to pray to our God and to pray corporately and to take our responsibility to make a place for the Holy Spirit, or else we can sit on the sidelines and wish He were here moving and wonder why He's not here more in power. Well, how much are you praying? Every one of us has got to take that responsibility. I'm going to do my very best, but I'm not sure I can do all this by myself. I bet some of you wished goodness I could. We would like to have anointed worship. We would like to have anointed worship without prayer. Lots of churches would like to be built without prayer, and they are. You can build a church without prayer. And if you've got a dynamic preacher, some people would like him better than me. Because people don't... To those of you on tape, our people are a little unruly this morning. It is true. It is true that people like theatrics, or, you know, they like a real orator. I'm telling you, some people are real orators. You know, I'm not. I just preach the word. But I hear some people, I can't believe how they can speak. They're mesmerizing. They're just amazing. We can quench him by not being thankful. Or by not respecting his ministry through others. And complaining or criticizing. And the third thing is we can resist him. Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." You will notice that sermons in the Bible are a little more direct than ours. I mean, if I'd started my message this morning, you know, you guys are stiff-necked. I've noticed that you resist the Holy Ghost, and today I'm going to see if I can help you change. Your first response would have been, "I'm going to tell my pastor on you." Or we can love him. Come on now. We can welcome him. We can revere him. We can give him his rightful place. We can honor him. We can acknowledge him when he is here with us. We can allow him to lead us. That's one of the greatest ways that we honor him. We can allow him to teach us and to be corrected by him. We can allow him to flow through us and do his Father's will. You can go one of two ways. Oh, and also, you can lie to the Holy Spirit, as I preached to you recently. This is what Ananias and Sapphira did. And in that scripture, it says you've lied to God. In which case, it calls the Holy Spirit God. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And I believe that there's a call in the day that we live for people to become aware of the person of the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts wide to Him, to turn from the way that we've been going, working things out in our own minds, and from doing the things that drive him away or grieve him or quench his Holy Spirit. And today I'm just going to invite you to step forward, and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to believe God together. I've been doing this in the Wednesday night class as well. You know, I believe God answers prayers. I believe it makes a difference when we pray. And I know that if we will ask the Holy Spirit to begin to move in our hearts, and if we'll tell him, this is what we want. Is that really what you want, Amy? You really want the Holy Spirit to move in you?
I really do.
See, I believe some of you really want this. I don't think I'm preaching to a congregation of people, well, get off of that, let's go on to something else that's not going to mess with my life.
Oh, please.
I don't believe that's what you want. Otherwise, you could have one of those eloquent preachers. But you got me instead to tell you the truth. Why don't you guys step up just a little bit over there? I want you up close. And I'm believing God that we're going to touch the Holy Spirit this morning. I want us to focus on the fact that Jesus told his disciples, "It's better for you if I go so I can send him." And we want to thank the Lord for sending the Holy Spirit, because it's better. He's going to teach us all things. He's going to guide us into all truth. And we're going to open our hearts this morning and ask the Lord for a fresh infilling of his Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, if we get filled up and overflowing as a church with the Holy Spirit, he will draw people in.
Yes.
That's what it is to be revived. It's to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Each of you in your own personal lives, and as we do it corporately, when we start doing that, a fire starts burning.
Yes.
Where the Holy Spirit is acknowledged and allowed to have his rightful place, there comes an empowerment. And you can feel it in the very atmosphere. And that's what we want to see happen. How many of you are ready to be revived and have the fire of God burn?